My braid is flashing bird.
No quarter. I am going to be uncomfortable and all over you from start to finish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And it's weird because I think the timing actually worked out well since this seems to be the MRCA week for episodes. But I am happy to have Remy and Rachel on the show. I mean, I want to say of Monkfish, but like that's one of many robots that you have. It just seems to be the one that is probably in more recently in folks' minds. But I'm glad to have you both on the show.
Thank you. Yeah. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll touch on MRCA first, just because that has, you know, been the topic of conversation for this week. You know, I already had a chat with Casey, and I know it's something that you're both heavily involved in. I'm starting to learn more about the league, and I think it's really exciting because of the strong ant weight division, which, you know, like people say beetle weights are accessible. Ant weights are even more accessible for people to get into, but they're also extremely competitive. So I want you to talk about like just MRCA in general, but especially that aspect of the league, because I think it's fascinating to me.
So I'm going to let Remy start off with this, since he's actually on the board for Merca. He's a Merca board member. And you've been a board member for what, 2 years now?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like 2 years. It's crazy how much growth there's been since then. But yeah, I think since before there was a real board, I was involved. So it was originally it was like just a group chat on Discord. And then it just grew into what it is today. And it's been really interesting. And I think one of the big reasons why it's grown so quickly is the decision to start with ant weight robots, as far as ranking and events, that being the initial target. The barrier to entry for ant weight events in terms of getting the participants, the cost of robots, and especially the cost of an arena and a venue, all kind of point towards the ant weights making it a lot easier to start events. And we're looking at probably at this point, even though it's limited 2 years, I think 10 different event hosting, you know, people, promoters or mm-hmm. event organizers just in the Midwest. And the growth has been like exponential.
Yeah, I think last year, for the qualifiers or qualifying events, I think there was one every, I don't know, 2 months or month and a half. And basically every single one of them was packed full. People would sign up and the slots would be gone in a couple of hours. So this year it's actually expanded quite a bit. I don't know how many events there will be that count towards the rankings, but now basically most of the events are count towards the Merca rankings, and there's got to be one at least every month, I would say, up until the finals, which I think are going to be in either November or December of this year.
For the first half of the year, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
Almost every 2 weeks, but maybe some of those are external events, not necessarily Merca ranked events, but just in the Midwest, even outside of ants, there's been a ton of growth in the last, since COVID, I guess basically it was kind of the big reset, because Ward still runs an event. There's mm-hmm. even a 30 pound event in Illinois with Robo Brawl. And I think people, just because it's not all kind of run by a single organization, it's kind of a little bit more stratification, but there are a lot of events in the Midwest, and we're trying to make it easier to raise visibility about your events. And part of that is having the like rankings for ants, and now starting next year for beetle weight robots, just kind of a combined location where you can have common set of rules, a list of all events that are ranked events, and then We're also trying to provide resources to help get event organizers started and having good quality events. And Casey has done a huge amount of work, both Casey's and everyone else at RSL, and for both the Robot Smashing League, RSL, and Marco. So it's pretty exciting. It's been a lot of work. Last year was totally crazy between doing Midwest events, supporting the growth of Merca, and running 3s and 30s at Norwalk, which is a choice.
Yeah. Last year, we didn't run any events last year, but we attended quite a few events. I think we were averaging at least one a month, if not more. And we compete across 3 different weight classes. So 1 pounders, 3 pounders, and 30 pounders now. So, and we each have at least one of each weight class. So we have a lot of robots. It was a lot of work last year, and we're excited this year to be able to kind of help a little bit more on the event organization side. And like Remy said, we're going to be working on hosting our own event in hopefully June. We're picking out the exact date now, working on that with the venue. But currently that's going to be an Antweight event that will be a Merca ranked event. But we'll give out more details as we get closer and we get everything settled with the venue.
Yeah, absolutely. Time for me to put my aunt together, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's plenty of time. 3 months not 3 months because of June. So 5 months now. No excuses.
Yeah, it's plenty of time. Well, that's awesome to hear. And, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, for the smaller, you know, weight classes and stuff like that, I feel like because just of the level of visibility that NHRL tends to be the standard that everybody measures those competitions to, and things like in these smaller events, well, 50 robots isn't that many robots, but for the smaller events, that's a lot of robots. Yeah. You know, because you don't have the level of like support, you know, that they have, I would imagine.
Yeah,
that and just venue size. There is an event in Michigan, in Bloomingdale, Michigan. It's a very small town run by the events run by Jeremiah Ashbrook. Mm-hmm. And
Michigan Mashup.
It is very on the kind of, it's very small. So like, I'm trying to imagine compared to NHRL what the size would be, but it's probably smaller than like the area where they have the main cages downstairs. And we're talking about, I think last year he had hosted an event with ants and beetles, and we're splitting at the seams. Like, yeah, there's just not enough.
Was, what, 16 ants or 24 ants? No, 32 ants, 16 beetles?
Yeah, 32 anyway. Ants, 16 beetles. And we were just like, packed in. It was wonderful. Yeah. Like, when, everybody's really helpful. It's a really good camaraderie, good atmosphere, but just not enough floor space.
Yeah. We've been to 164 bot ant weight event in Wisconsin from Joseph, the Betts bots. And it was filled up the whole gymnasium, like a, you know, church gymnasium. And yeah, they use all that space. And, as soon as you start to get, there's like a size thing you don't think about. Venues are a big problem. It's definitely probably even more of an issue in New England, depending on where exactly you are and how expensive places are. But even in the Midwest, it does tend to be churches and a lot of the time, or like the bot supremacy is like in an indoor flea market called the New Baltimore Trade Center.
Or like old, I think there's an event at an Eagles Club in Chicago. I think there's recently one in Chicago area at a brewery. I don't remember the
that
brewery
was very
name,
tight, apparently.
But apparently that was, everybody was very friendly.
Yeah.
Very close to each other.
But yeah, you know, getting tables, even just figuring out how to get enough table space and power cords and stuff, like, it really adds up. 16 and 32 bot events, or I think the minimum for ranking is 32, so target for ants at least. That can, it is non-trivial to get all that set up, so it's good to, well, we were just starting to work through the process. We had, like, one, like, friendly event that was not ranked and was not, like, a public event that we ran, and even that with only like 16 people, it's a lot of work. And now when we're getting geared up to do the June event, we're talking to Casey and CJ, and like, oh, do you have a television? Do you have HDMI cord extension cable? Do you have there's so many things.
Do you have enough volunteers? Do you need this, 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 and this for the volunteers to make sure that you have adequate like manpower in order to get everything done in a timely fashion?
And as hard as you try, you cannot physically split yourself in half and be in two places at once. And if you did, it would be kind of probably terrifying and not a good event experience for people.
Yeah. So we're working towards that. Yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm excited that we're actually going to contribute back a little bit. Like, I enjoy building robots. I enjoy running robots, but I really do want to help out the community a little bit now that it especially seems to have just exploded in the Midwest for the ant wait scene.
As like, long as events are filling up in 30 minutes, then that means we should have more events, we think. So
yes,
we're going to try to be part of the solution.
Instead of part of the problem.
But we'll still be part of the problem.
But at somebody else's event.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true. It works both ways. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's great to be part of the community on multiple levels like that. I'm really curious, you know, since I don't actually know a lot about either of you, what got you both into doing this in the first place? Because I think most of us that have gotten into it recognize we're all crazy for doing it. But what actually got you into doing it?
So Remy got me into doing it. So during the pandemic, he was starting to get bored, and he'll explain a little bit of backstory on him, but he's like, there's this competition in Connecticut. Somebody told me about it. I'm like, you're going to drive all the way to Connecticut to compete with a 3-pound robot that you've never driven in like an arena before. And he's like, yep. I'm like, go for it.
To be fair, the original plan was to go to Cirque, which was in Peoria, but that got canceled. I was going to go to the 2020 Central Illinois Robotics Club event, but that got canceled because of COVID. And then they never ran it again, actually. So my target event was not Norwalk, but then it ended up becoming Norwalk. But I'd followed robot combat for years. I watched original BattleBots on VHS tapes, VHS tape copies of broadcasts when I was a kid. I kind of forgot it existed along with everybody else, I think, mostly. And then shortly after I graduated, I got, not immediately after, but anyway, after graduated, we both went to MIT in Massachusetts. So we came back to Michigan, or we came to Michigan, not come back because we're not from Michigan, for work. We both work at Toyota doing engineering.
Yeah, we're automotive engineers at Toyota.
Not in New England or ever, but I started getting messages from Fred Moore, who's, a Ripperoni driver and maker of any strange robots over the years. And he's like, hey, yeah, so BattleBots is a thing. It's back. I'm going to be involved in it. And also, you should make a little robot. I'm like, little robot? What is a beetle weight? I've never heard of a beetle weight. and I'm like, there's no events in the Midwest. I was wrong, but part of that kind of goes back to the visibility being important. So I was like, I'll come back to that. But I'll watch BattleBots. BattleBots is awesome. And so I watched, got back into BattleBots. And then I broke one of the things. Never mind. There's a lot of side stories involved in this. I broke my ankle riding dirt bikes. And as part of my not moving around and recovery, and I just would consume like all robot content possible, including like the random Chinese shows. So I just watch with no translation and just kind of guess what they're talking about. that was that's another stage in the descent into madness that this kind of requires. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to make a robot. But I don't have an arena. I don't have a test box. I don't have anything. So I'll just make a robot that's like a little control bot. So I bought a D2 kit. I drove it around and I'm like, okay, I want to make my own version of D2 kit, but not as boring in my mind. So that's why Wicked Wedge was born, is just like a D2 kit with a lifter. It kind of evolved from that, but now took that to 2021, May 2021, in HRO, got my wedge ripped off in the second hit, or like in the first 15 seconds of my first fight. And I was like, uh-oh, I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I was prepared for this. But somehow ended up going 2-2 in that fight with some, and then just like the whole atmosphere, meeting up with everyone, nerding out on stuff. I was like, okay, I want to get some more of this. So it was a ton of fun. I think then Rachel's did not come out to the first.
No. Event. So for Norwalk, you can, or at least at the time, I don't know if it still is, you can have the 1 pound like extra bonus bot for a beetle. So for a 3 pound beetle bot, you can have an extra like 1 pound bot. Remy wanted me to get involved with him. So he actually designed a robot called Weird Flex, which is a 1 pound robot. And we took it to NHRL and it actually did pretty well. I think
it did okay until Corey got a hold of it.
Yeah. But other than that, it was pretty good. And so Remy, we've been looking into like local events, and we still had basically the 3 pound robot, and then he designed that 1 pound robot called Weird Flex, and then you designed another one on the side. You saw an event being run by Jeremiah Ashbrook in Bloomingdale, Michigan, and we went. First event we'd ever gone to and competed with ants, right?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, you take Weird Flex because you drove that before, and I'll take this other little turtle robot because it's just like a... Both of them were jokes because they just had giant... They had 3 pound drivetrain stuffed in them. So I'm like, I'm just going to zoom around. It's a mini bot. I didn't have a strategy.
We designed them as mini bots for the 3 pounders, and I actually ended up doing really well, and I won that event.
Yeah. So besides
first
mini
event
bot driving,
I've ever yeah. we ever went to with ants, and we won it.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of just kept growing from there.
Yeah. And then snowballed, met Jer, met a bunch of other good people at that event, and started participating in the Discord, chatting with people and stuff, and then you know.
And then Mirka started to grow because you were working in that kind of Discord for all the people. I say local-ish compared to being in like the Northeast, where like every single state is like you can drive through Rhode Island in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But like driving through Michigan or driving like through like it's long, much longer distances. So from like us in Ann Arbor to go see Casey, for example, is like a 12-hour drive.
Yeah, it takes as long to go to Minnesota as it does to get to Connecticut.
Yep.
Everything just compresses when you start go east. After Pennsylvania.
If you could just drive through the lake, then you know.
I have to get on that. Maybe we should just design the jet car or whatever. We could just... or a giant catapult. I don't know. I'm open to ideas.
But yeah, that's how we kind of got into ants. You didn't. You made the beetle first, and then you made an ant wait as a companion robot, and it just snowballed from there. And then...
Then Jer upgraded to ants and beetles. He made a big old 8x8 arena, and I was like, what are you doing with that old arena, dude? And take it off your hands. So that's how we got our test box, also an ant weight arena. So we're just chilling in our garage, of course.
Yeah.
So if you got an arena, you got to run an event. That's how it goes.
That's what I've heard. I mean, it's a service to the community because we need more events. So if you have an arena, like, you know, put it to good use.
Although we did do a lot of monkfish tests in the arena. The arena needs a bit of a...
It needs some TLC.
Before it's ready for competition again.
Yeah, sorry.
But, you know.
Yeah, which, you know, speaking of monkfish, Boxy Award nominated monkfish for NHRL's most destructive bot. You know, I want to talk about the robot in general, but obviously I want to talk about September because, you know, I was there, and even though, you know, I've seen what monkfish can do, I'll admit that after watching Corey Nason completely destroy Booty Brigade, I was like, he's gonna destroy everything. Like I don't know what's gonna stop
him.
You're
not wrong, based on what happened in December. You're not wrong.
but I mean, this is why everybody says you can never go into a fight assuming anything because you never know what's going to happen. Switches get turned off. Things happen. What were you both thinking before that fight in September after watching Corey completely dismantle Lynx and Droopy?
try not to die.
Yeah.
Try not to die instantly. So I went in assuming that I was going to get eviscerated just based off of watching the Booty Brigade fight and like him tossing not Lynx, which one? Well, I guess both of them.
Yeah, tossing everything.
Tossing everything up into the air. I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. And Remy actually has worked with Corey before. They were both on Team Shred It
for a while. Yep.
For whatever last season's Shred It Bro robot, the heavyweight robot. And they were both working on the design to a certain extent. I think you did more. Corey was a little bit busy, but you guys did work together on that.
Yeah.
So part of it was going into the September Norwalk. That was the first Norwalk that I took Monkfish to. And honestly, I expected it to do decently well. I'd gone to only two competitions previously, one in Ohio called Horde. It's an anime convention. And
you should go to Horde.
You should go to Horde.
I should go to Horde.
Okay. Yeah. <Side then.
laughs> but that was the premiere of the robot, and I placed second, and I lost to this guy right here.
Sorry.
With his Peter Barr robot called Gyration.
Yeah.
And then I knew I wanted to take it to Norwalk either this year or 2023, or do it in the January event of 2024.
Yeah, so it would, if it didn't go in September, it would be at the new bot event right now, mm-hmm. or coming up shortly here. But
we decided, yeah. I just wanted to run it. So in preparation for that, I took it to an event in New Jersey,
G-Scroll,
which is a really cool event. They ran it at the state fair there, and Remy got invited. Then one of the event organizers kept prodding him over and over to bring his 1 pound robot, which is Mudskipper, which is what Monkfish is based off of. Yeah.
Baby Monkfish now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess baby Monkfish. but we went to that and I won, and we had some really good fights. We fought Nate Franklin with Thunderchild, and he fought me twice. And I was so worried about that fight. And I ended up being able to take his wedge off two different fights. I had to fight him twice and took his wedge off both times.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was... the Nate, robots seemed to be working pretty well. We didn't have any motors blow up, anything like that. So we're like, okay, we're in a pretty good position. Let's just take it to Norwalk. We'll see how it does. Part of it is like only the third event. I was expecting much more, like something's going to blow up that we've never had happen before, because yeah. I'm going to have to fight somebody like Corey or... somebody else that has the tankiest little robot or something.
That was not the focus of the event. We're like, listen, we're going up here anyway. We're going to bring Dragon Queen. We'll try to get the flamethrower bot going.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. We were going to bring Ava originally, but just too many robots to fix everything.
I honestly thought I had a really good chance. So we purchased a 30-pound robot. It used to be called Dragon Princess from Dom in Indiana. And we ran it. We took it to September. I thought I stood a really good chance of qualifying because there weren't that many robots for 30-pound weight class. But just due to the pairings, my first fight was against the microwave.
Spare parts.
And then the second fight was against Kevin.
Yeah.
With
Red Storm.
And
Storm Viper. Red Claw.
He bossed me. He bossed me. And then that was done. I'm like, okay, well, now what are we going to do?
Yeah, so, that's the thing you get. First of all, both of our 30-pound robots, their first opponent has been spare parts. Poor spare parts.
I feel really bad for spare parts.
But then after that, because of the way that there's fewer 30s, you don't really get so many chances in a single elimination. Ooh. We're like, oh, great. Well, the good news is we're able to get the control bot. The bad news is it's like the best control bot, so good luck. our focus shifted. We're like, well, maybe we could qualify Monkfish. I mean, that's asking for a lot. Even there's like probably a dozen robots at any Norwalk event that you would get in the top four and you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Of course, that makes sense.
So part of it was because I was unranked at NHRL, I was right in kind of the middle area. I think I was in the 70. So it was like 160 robots for the Beatles to start with. I think I was somewhere in the 70 to 90 range for seedings. So part of that, it ended up being really far away from some of the top robots, for example. So I ended up fighting a bunch of like,
How many finger tech beater bars?
I don't know how many.
I think there were at least two finger tech beater bars. There was a beater bar kit that was modified. Yeah. Then, of course, Rachel had to beat me.
Yeah, sorry about that, honey.
It was unavoidable.
But then we got to, so Remy and I both got to top 16. Then we had to face each other. I beat him, so it was top 8. And then I had to fight Impact, which is a kind of a Drisk-style robot that's run by...
Well, it's not Drisk, it's a beater.
Oh, is it a beater?
It's the machine beater now.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. But one of those four-wheel drive, you know, they're really nice and planted things, and driven by Lars, who is always a menace, let's be honest.
But we beat him, and then I was like, okay, we're doing pretty well. And then we got Warhard, and I was like, oh no, because I saw that, like, I've seen videos of that robot fighting. It is almost indestructible.
Yeah, I fought Warhard in Motorama in like 2022. And like, I was not doing great until his weapon broke, but I was like, and then I was talking to someone like, oh, we're at Warhard. He's like, what is it? Peter Garnache is like, don't sleep on Warhard, dude. Have you seen his last few events? And I'm like, I went to go look, and I'm like, oh, that's a different robot. That's terrifying.
Yeah. So I had low hopes for fighting Warhard and for that going well.
Yeah. We're like, whatever, because that already would have qualified.
Yeah. So we had already qualified at that point, cause we were top 4. So did that fight. Warhard went the full distance, went full 3 minutes. It was a very sad robot near the end. I ate a lot of wheels.
Yeah, it didn't hear no bell.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we were kind of surprised. We were waiting for the Booty Brigade versus Synthesis fight to see what the outcome of that was. And I was not going to lie, I was a little surprised that Synthesis won. But honestly, I had not been following Synthesis that closely and Corey's robot. And I hadn't seen any of the previous fights, and then we were waiting, I think.
That was the first fight. The first fight of that day that we got to see Corey fight in was,
yeah.
We were getting, we looked up and we're watching the TV, we're like,
oh.
Whoa.
It's like, oh no, we have to fight that next? Oh, crap. So we put the robot back together after the Warhard fight, and we're like, let's just put it back together, make sure it's functioning. Do the best you can. And we had a mini bot. Remy was driving one of our 1 pound robots as a mini bot for me to help with the control.
Well, it was a custom bot. It was 1.5 pounds.
Oh, I forgot. You made it custom.
Out of old, it was made out of old Peter Bar kit parts because I had stretched out so many frame components on it.
And you refused to pitch anything.
Well, I don't see. It worked out this time.
Yeah, I'm just joking.
You can't see what's off camera, but there's piles of robot parts in pretty much every direction. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we go down to the fight with Corey. I think we were chatting beforehand and like, best of luck, like, because I know I'm gonna need it. And we get into the fight, and Corey popped Monkfish up a couple of times, really good. And Remy was doing a really good job as being the mini bot driver. He was getting in exactly when he needed to and just hanging Corey up so that Synthesis couldn't move. And then I would go in and hit. And kind of unexpectedly to us, I gave a really good, got the weapon spinning up and got a really good hit on Corey. And it, like, the whole robot died. And he and I were looking at each other and we're like, no.
Yeah, we're like, no, oh no.
No. So like we've been there before. We've been on the receiving end of that where we've had a robot go out due to a power switch just like stop functioning. So I completely understand like the feeling that he was going through at that time. Probably not as much because all the events that that's happened to me too, it was much lower stakes. But we really did not believe that that was going to happen. Like, maybe in my wildest dreams, I thought that Monkfish would win, but the actual reality of that, I thought was like, maybe if I'm lucky, top 16.
Yeah.
For the first Norwalk event. And that's asking a lot. You start with 160 robots, and we got to, both of us got into the top 16. So we were in the top 10% of robots, whatever.
Yeah, but it was a good event overall, but yeah, it was definitely a surprise.
It was a surprise. And by the end, we were exhausted. We'd started out the day, we'd gotten there the day before, so we drove on Friday afternoon with the intention of safety, making through safety with all of our robots, including my 30-pound robot. And we got there, and there was some miscommunication. The flame robots now required different rules than they did in 2022
Regarding the weapon lock,
regarding
so
weapon locks.
old weapon
And
lock wasn't good enough. We had to design a new one.
on the
Oh,
fly
at 6 a.m. the next day in the
on
morning.
Saturday morning, so we designed this weapon safety. Like, we got there as early as possible, 6 a.m. on Saturday morning, to work on the 30 pounder. And I don't think that event ended until at least 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
It was. We were just exhausted.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it had to be really cool then to get to go to finals. I mean, finals went a little bit differently than September did. But how was that experience?
I was really happy that so Remy qualified his 30-pound robot Ava at the January event last year. So January 2023, he won that event. And it was just kind of a nice bookend. So he did the very first event of the year, and then I had the with the last qualifier of the year, I got in. So we each have a full robot to run
Yeah.
during the finals, which was really, it was just kind of perfect
Yeah.
that we were both able to go, and we each had our own thing that we were doing. It actually meant that we ended up recruiting some help from one of our friends, Dave Hurt. He has a three
Team
pound,
42, his Beetle 8's knee biter.
yep, knee biter, who's in, that's been to NHL quite a couple times. So he volunteered to come with us and help us run his pit crew for the
Yeah,
day.
yeah.
For finals, I had a lot of reservations or anxiety that I would not perform as well, or that the robot would not perform as well, just because the amount of time I had in between the September event and then the finals was, I think, 5 weeks. And I had to make sure that we had enough extras of everything. Well, you helped with that a lot. We had to print our robot for Monkfish is so much TPU. Oh my gosh. It is. I think we did a calculation. I think it's 40% of the weight of the robot is TPU. So if you can imagine, after the parts are basically consumables, so it's not like you can run them indefinitely. At a certain point, if something like it gets hit or nicked or a big chunk taken out of it, you chuck it. It's just gone. So we had to do a lot of printing. I'm super glad that we have two printers right now, thanks to this guy's foresight. So,
Yeah, well,
and he really wanted a Prusa XL.
yeah. Unhealthy obsession, insight, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. But it was a lot of preparation. We had some stuff going on at work as well. I think I've been traveling this year. I've been to Mexico twice. You've been to Mexico once for work-related stuff.
For a week at
So,
a time,
and
basically.
yeah, you're gone for a week. So I was like, whatever happens, we'll just roll up, try to be as prepared as possible. I think we had each of us for our entries had two robots each that were fully prepared.
Yeah.
And I think I started to realize with Monkfish, the big first fight that I had was against Jameson with Silent Spring, or was it Silent X?
China, whatever the one has shufflers now, so now it's Silent Spring.
Yeah, the one with the shufflers.
Yeah.
So that fight happened actually earlier on than I was expecting. And it was one of the qualifiers. So even if I lost, I could still continue on. So I was like, okay, well, if I lose, it's okay. Like, we'll get it figured out and get everything fixed up and then get ready to go.
That's the best part. You get to fight Silent Spring and you don't even get kicked out if you lose. So why
Yeah,
not?
why not? But that fight was interesting. It didn't get televised for some reason. We were in one of the side arenas. I think there was
Just the way they have it
just the way
scheduled.
they had it scheduled. And my robot got kicked up on top of the house bot and it got stuck there. And then I just spun my weapon to try and get off the top of the robot. And I got stuck in the corner behind the house bot, and the house bot got stuck on something and couldn't move.
So JMO like ripped off some of the tread on one of Monkfish's feet. And it went under the house pot. Under, it was sitting right in front of the house pot, and the house pot went forward, and then apparently has no ground clearance because it immediately got wedged on a piece of rubber, basically, that came off
that was
one
like
of Monkfish's feet.
3 millimeters tall.
And it was stuck. And I was like, why isn't he moving? He's like, I'm stuck. I'm like,
yeah,
come
he
on,
and I are both yelling at the ref, like, move.
I have to still edit up. We have to edit up all those fights still, but that's one of the reasons I'm like, how are we gonna handle that? Are we gonna include the chest mount camera shot of me kicking the floor of the arena 7 times? Because it's healed up, but I had a good bruise.
You
on
had
my
a very good
for
bruise
quite a
on
while
your shin.
Or...
By the way, that is not acceptable apparently.
Oh
to
yeah,
kick
then I got
the
a,
arena.
I got a clarification. They're like, hey, you can't interfere with the arena. He's like, I'm like, oh, did I get a demerit or anything? And he's like, no, but just don't do it again. I'm like, fair, that's fair. I mean,
yeah.
I probably in that moment were like, yeah, I'm probably not allowed to do this, but what's the worst case? I'm gonna lose.
We're gonna lose already.
They started to count me out, they started to count Rachel out because there's no movement. I'm like, well, if we're gonna lose anyway, might as well get disqualified from that fight.
Yep.
So
yep.
I mean, the without thinking about it for more than 5 seconds, I'm like, well, send
just
it.
Do it. Just do it. So
and then it came unstuck.
And then it came unstuck. It took probably like a
it
good
was a minute, basically.
It was like a minute
yeah.
that the house bot was stuck. I was stuck behind the house bot.
Oops.
And we ended up finishing the fight. I got out. Jameson ate all the rubber off the feet. And so I could still move, but not particularly well. And I wasn't able to really do any damage to him.
It was like a Scooby-Doo cartoon where like the feet are moving, but it's not really doing anything. So Rachel had control, more control than Dutch Oven. Rachel had control, but just like couldn't get that big bite.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, Jameson did get stuck on the wall, but he got
yeah.
it on a stick. So that's fair. But we didn't have the full fight time to demonstrate it, but
yeah.
It was probably going his way anyway, but it would have been more fun to not have that little interruption in the
I
middle of the fight.
I would have liked to have not been like you said, the Scooby-Doo, like it just felt ridiculous. It felt like forever that house bot was stuck.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But then we were kicked down into, because we lost that fight, we ended up towards the having to fight. Who did we fight after that? I don't even remember.
Not jet lag.
I wasn't
not
jet
voxel.
Lag. I'll find out later.
Wicked
I'll look
Twister,
it up.
The horizontal.
Ah, yeah, Wicked Twister was right after that.
That robot was very durable.
But so we got kicked down. We weren't going to fight JMO again, at least at that point. So we got kicked down. We're fighting our way back up through the bracket. And we got to a point where I think we fought jet lag that Lars is driving, and I didn't realize it until after the fight was done, but one the weapon ESC was acting funky. It wasn't working like 100%, and I didn't notice it. I thought the robot was 100%, built it back up, was like, okay, this is the one I'm going to use against Voxel. And then 5 minutes before the fight, just as a sanity check, we went to go test it in a test box, and Remy's like, this is not right. There's something wrong with weapon ESC. And
yeah, it would not spin up at all. Like you could
no.
only get a spin up by like going at like 25%. I'm like, this is not gonna work.
So we
switch
ended up
the bots.
We had to switch the
robot.
Well,
what's wrong with the other robot? Oh, it has no feet on it
because that
Silent
was the
Spring
one that fought Silent
them.
Spring. So like the feet were like kind of there, but like the robot was sitting like 4 or 5 millimeters too low, and it had no traction.
Yeah.
So I'm
it
like,
only had like 2 feet of traction. Like, how much can we switch? We can switch this much before we get like DQ'd for not getting.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
they
like,
were coming around. They're like,
it.
Where are you? You need to like wrap this up. And Remy's like tearing feet off the robot. We only got like 3 feet on the robot that were like functional.
It was enough.
It was enough.
It was definitely not optimal. It was
and,
very suboptimal.
Yeah. But we ended up doing the fight with Voxel with Big Mutt or Big But Not Big. What's his nickname?
Little But Not Little.
Little
anyway.
But Not Little Mike. With Voxel, and he's a really good sport. He actually, I think, waited for us
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. He mysteriously disappeared for about amount of time it needed for us to get our stuff back together.
Yep.
So thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. And then we had that fight. We ended up winning. Voxel is a really good robot. I was happy that with Monkfish not being able to walk properly, and but the weapon was still working, it won. I was very happy
yeah.
with that.
We're kind of like, well, this might be the end of the run. We'll see. That's okay. It's a good, not a bad fight, not a bad bot to go out on.
Yeah.
But
and then after that, I fought Booty Brigade, a very short fight. So I wasn't sure how that was going to go. What ended up happening was Lynx was on top of me instantaneously. He is so good at that. And I inadvertently did some, Remy was trying to do interference by getting in the way. While he was doing that, I inadvertently hit him and did some damage to the mini, to him as the mini bot. And then Remy was not able to help any longer. And then Lynx just came right at me.
No, and it was great because Rachel hit me and like propelled me into Lynx. My frame is supposed to be square and it was like this. There were only like two corners touching the ground and it was like completely. I think Droopy started to come over to me and I was like, nah, I'm not going to mess with this guy. He's dead already. But then we learned the failure mode of one of the new failure modes of the Bugfish, which is if you hit it hard enough, the motor just flies out the top of the robot. So
we've since fixed this.
It was only held in by plastic mounting plate. Mm-hmm. Well, nylon.
Yeah, carbon fiber nylon. We've switched it up now.
That exploded.
Yeah, there's more in there now. Some metal reinforcing all that. But basically, he punched up on my robot from the bottom, and it punched the motor up through the top of my robot, and the motor, like the weapon motor that's in the center of the robot, came out. And
we saved it. We reused it.
And it popped out some. And I'm like, okay, can I still spin the weapon? I can still spin the weapon. Let's keep doing this. And then he did it again, and the whole motor popped out. I'm like, tap. Like, I'm yelling at him because he was next to the tap out button. I'm like, tap, 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 tap. Because the mini bot's dead. I've got my weapon motor out. And
there's only going one way after that.
I know. And the weapon motors are expensive. Yeah. Like, I'm using a weapon motor that's probably more suited to a 12-pound robot. So it's about $90 to $100 per motor. So I really was trying to save that motor. I think Lynx damaged the can a little bit, but we were able to, I think, cobble together from another broken motor. We were able to cobble from two broken ones. We were able to cobble together one good one. So it wasn't a total loss.
It was fine.
And then after that, we ended up doing, that was the confusing part. We were supposed to fight.
We were in the box. We were ready to fight. We got our rematch with Jameson. Like,
yeah, cool. We were really prepared. JMO was super busy because he still had the 30-pound robot in and the 12-pound robot in. And he's like, okay, threes are done. Let's just get this third place fight out of the way. Let's do it. Let's go. So we go down and we were actually pushing production, I think, to go down and just do it because we were exhausted. We wanted to go home, back to the hotel. So we're waiting at the arena side, waiting for us. And they keep saying, wait, wait, we can't let you guys go yet. And we're like, okay, well, we waited probably like 30 minutes with the robots in the box. And they're like, I'm like, eventually Jameson's getting really like,
I'm just going to go fight my other robots.
He needs to leave. He's really like anxious because he needs to go and do other stuff. And so we asked the production crew, we're like, can we just go back upstairs and you guys call us back down when you're ready? Like, that's fine. Just let him go so he can go do his thing and get this, like, get him further in the 12s and 30s. That way he's not worried about because he was still in the winner's bracket for both of those at that time. So we went back upstairs. We chilled for a little bit. And we weren't sure exactly what was going on. Towards the end, we were told that basically, I don't remember. They didn't want Jameson and us to fight anymore, but I think by that time they predetermined that Booty Brigade had officially won, and then JMO and I don't remember exactly what they wanted. They couldn't figure out what was going to happen, but all three of the teams were ready to fight. Yeah, we had our robots ready. We wanted to have one last fight. So I just remember Tommy proposed this. He's just like, Rumble? I'm like, I'm down. Did you go ask JMO? And he's like, he just like runs away. And I'm like, okay. And like, JMO's like, yeah, let's just do it. Why not?
Yeah.
So it was us. So we had Monkfish, and then Remora was the mini bot, the 1.5-pound mini bot. And then for Booty Brigade, it was Lynx and Droopy. And then Jameson by his lonesome with Silent Spring.
But it was big Droopy.
It was I forgot he put Big Droopy in.
Yeah, that was absolute chaos. You could probably watch that fight like 17 times and see something new every time. That was hilarious. I think you're in our video of it, you're like just laughing the whole time.
Oh yeah, I'm laughing the whole time. I knew the robot was gonna get destroyed. It's fine. And it was still walking by the end, I'm pretty certain.
Yeah, but it was like, fine, but the weapon got, I think it sheared the coupler.
Yeah, we had some issues with the weapon, which is fine because we learned from it. And I did a design change on it for the December event.
Didn't really get to test it that much, but it didn't break.
It didn't break.
So.
But yeah, that was special just because I don't think that's ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. It's hard enough just to get all those people in the same room. They get from all over the country.
Yeah, you know? JMO's in, I assume, Massachusetts still. We're in Michigan, and then Tommy and Calvin are in California. So the chances of us all being together again is pretty slim.
But it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now I'm curious. With, you know, that's kind of how you ended things, was 2023. For 2024, what are the plans for your robots, or is there anything new that's being worked on? You know, like, are you going back to NHRL anytime soon? You know, anything like that?
For NHRL,
probably not until later in the year.
Yeah, we may do, if there truly is an event in May.
The regional event
we'll look into, because that'll be nice and convenient for us, depending on where it is in Ohio. I can't remember.
We don't know yet.
But I'll be very curious if that happens. Other than that, we want to pull back a little bit on the trips to Connecticut, just because last year.
Well, we went to Connecticut. We flew out to Seattle.
We drove there four times.
Oh, yeah.
So we were there in January, September, the finals in November, and then we went for the December event. So we went, I think you calculated how much time.
It was like 1.6 of all of our waking hours were spent driving to and from Connecticut.
Last year. Yeah.
So
we need a little bit of a break just from, I did not expect, we knew we would be back. We didn't know about the December event, of course. And then for the finals, we knew that was going to happen, of course, because he was going to definitely be in with Ava and the 30-pounder. Yeah.
For this year, I mean, you got a couple ideas about optimizing packaging for Monkfish.
Yeah.
We both are planning on making a new, we each have our own ideas for new ant weight robots that we're going to try to make happen this year.
Yeah. Last year, so we ran ant weight robots, basically the same ones through all of this. In 2023, we ran three robots total. One was called Weird Flex. It's a purple robot that's kind of long. And then there is one that Remy runs called Mud Skipper, which was the original idea of where Monkfish came from. And you ran that. This 2023 was the second year, right? We ran it.
Yeah, first event was January 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you ran that all last year. And basically for the ants, we did nothing but optimization. So we just went through the design. We didn't create new designs. Well, maybe you did for one of them, for a Super Space Turtle. But it was mostly optimization, trying to get everything up to make it as good as possible. Little tweaks here and there. Remy's very good at that and has the patience to do that more than I do. So right now, like, for example, my ant weight robot is called Weird Flex. It's done pretty well, but I think we're kind of topped out, especially in the area that we're in Merca. The competition is hot here. It is so, like, the really high level, high caliber robots. I don't think that we can optimize that robot anymore and do any better.
Well, you probably can, but it's more fun to throw people around, let's say. So maybe you want a little more active robots.
Yeah, that's also fun. Remy and I will often switch too. So we'll go to an event, and I've driven Mud Skipper probably as many times as you have this year.
Yeah, so you've driven Mud Skipper. Super Space Turtle had three drivers, including my cousin. Mm-hmm. Weird Flux has had two drivers. So yeah, we all, yeah. The only robot around that you haven't driven is Ava, our 30s. So we don't swap on the 30s.
Yeah.
And I've never driven Monkfish in a competition. Mm-mm. Just testing.
Just testing. But
that thing's fun, though. Anyway.
That's all. It looks like fun.
It is fun.
Rachel doesn't even turn that thing up all the way because it just makes chaos more than anything.
It drains the battery like crazy to turn it up all the way. So, but we enjoy swapping robots. I feel like people are like, oh, you guys swap robots all the time? That must mean that you like are like the robots are easy to drive. And no.
Yeah.
Mudskipper is not easy to drive. No, no, no. Monkfish is harder to drive than Mudskipper is, but you get used to it.
Yeah, I think part of it is they're just weird. Like there are things like every robot, if you have a very normal robot, you don't have to think as much, I think, for some of these things. Mm-hmm. But for Mudskipper and Monkfish, like you can't move until the weapon is spinning. If the weapon's not spinning past a certain speed, move you, then you have it and you go flying. So it's like the opposite. Like people want to try to like move and get in a good position, spin their weapon up. You have to get the weapon spun up first, those robots. Yeah. So it's super counterintuitive, I think.
Yeah. But and I learned that for Mudskipper, like I said, I drove it for a couple of events. And my first event with Monkfish, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do the same thing, gonna set up the controller the same way. I had my weapon basically set so that as soon as I flipped a switch, it would automatically go to 75%. So at the beginning of the fight, flip the switch, go to 75% or whatever it was. And the robot was uncontrollable with how fast the acceleration of the turn of like the weapon is. So like you can see like some of the earlier videos, if you go to the YouTube channel, you just see the robot dancing up into the air and you're like I had to fix that super quick, and we're like, okay, I guess we're full manual on the weapon.
But yeah, you learn stuff.
Yeah,
and it'll make it. We don't know what your first event would be that you're gonna run it in, but we'll figure it out.
We'll figure
and
it out.
Hopefully, we'll have some ants. It should be a lot of fun. Rachel's got an idea for something, a different twist on a Drisk that people haven't done before, and I have a bunch of little hub motors. Hub motor pieces. So I guess I'm gonna have to make a hub motor now for an ant. So we'll see how that goes.
We will be in competing with our 30s at Moto in February. So I'll be competing with the not flame robot. We'll be taking the flame out of the robot because no rock accepts flame. And then you'll be running Ava. Or at least that's the current plan.
Yeah, I should probably order the parts for Ava, seeing as it's like a month away.
Yeah, and I need to make sure that I can make weight with all the stuff, all the flame stuff taken out of the robot in the heaviest configuration.
We have some options, but it's a little bit of work. It's not too crazy, which is good because it's coming up quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those events sneak up on you.
And it's no joke on the 30-pound robots, like, oh, okay. Like when we were prepping for September, I was like, okay, we have cheap IKEA dining room table, clear everything off of it and just like put the big metal robots on. I was like, we'll replace the table if we have to. I don't care. Let's just get this done.
I mean, it's not like it broke the table.
No, it just scratched out like everywhere, but it's fine.
Anyway, yeah. And then, yeah, 30-pound different. 30-pound robots are different. You end up with like a suitcase of 100-pound of spare parts or like... Where did I, how did I get to this? But ants are much more compact. They'll fit in your backpack or whatever.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They're much, much simpler. Well that's exciting though. I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's going to be unfortunate to not see you, as much at NHRL, but you know, the Midwest combat robotics scene is growing, and hopefully it will continue to grow and we can, you know, see that, you know, and hopefully I can get out to some events. So, but yeah, well, Very exciting. I have a feeling folks are going to really enjoy this discussion. So if you're watching this and you did enjoy this discussion, please make sure that you comment and like and subscribe and all of that good stuff. Keep following the show, keep supporting combat robotics, go to your local events, volunteer. Volunteers are sorely needed from everybody that I've talked to. So that's probably a good way to get involved if you don't know that much yet. But yeah, just keep watching and we will see everyone next time on the show.